In order that, that's kind of going to be the subject of today's lecture. It comes from the Greek word henna. And henna is a word you're not really going to find in your Strong's Concordance because usually it's translated that, okay? And it just isn't given a number because the word's in the appendix. But about the only way you can really find it every time it's listed is in the manuscripts, and that, you know, of the New Testament, the Greek manuscripts. But I thought I would call attention to it because it means in order that. In other words, it's Jesus saying, this is the reason I'm doing this. This is the message you're supposed to get from it. This is what it's all about. That's why I'm going to do this miracle. In order that you can come to your senses, that you can know what I'm doing. And it is spelled H-I-N-A in the Greek tongue. And again, it means in order that, or it means I'm going to give you the purpose and the results, or to the intent. This is why I do it, to the intent. So to me, it's very important that you know why Christ did things. Because otherwise, if you don't, you're kind of left hanging out there. Now, it is true that we know that the word that in English kind of basically means that, but the Greek is far stronger. It's Jesus explaining to you. Open your Bibles, if you would, to St. John chapter 9. We're going to pick it up there. And we're going to kind of stick to this chapter. This word is used two times in this particular chapter. And it gives one of the best explanations of why Jesus taught as he did. And I like to see, this is maybe not a good analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. I like to see a really gifted bulldozer operator work, you know. I mean, that man is going to do good backing or going forward. It don't matter. He's going to help his cut. I guess y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? But as many chicken houses as we've got, when you see these old boys come in to lay up these platforms, a good dozer operator is going to have that machine working. You're paying him right because he's going to be working, coming and going. All right? I mean, he's going to be utilizing that piece of equipment. Well, so did Christ in teaching. He taught on three levels, all at the same time, whereby at whatever level you were at, you could grasp it, you could pick it up, you could go with it, with understanding. And that's what's important. It's one thing to hear a word, it's something else to hear it with understanding, meaning where it means something to you. That's why we're going to do this with henna, which is to say, in order that. This is why we're doing it, okay? So, we go to St. John chapter 9. And let's just take, we're basically going to take the chapter, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. I mean, he was born that way, he'd been that way ever since, he couldn't see a thing. Verse 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that, now underline that word in your mind, that's henna, in order that he was born blind, or what was the purpose of his being born blind? Was it because of his sin or the parents' sin? Now, you all know that God doesn't cause certain things because of sin. So let's see what he says. He says, this is the reason. In order that, he's going to answer their question. Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, that I can use him to illustrate. Basically, let's cut right to the message that I'm the Son of God. That God has sent the Savior. That Emmanuel, God with us, he's here. And naturally, this man was born without sight. Now let me tell you something. The deeper message is this on the third level. You've got a lot of people in this world today that have vision. That is to say, they can see. And some of us have to have glasses, but you can see. But not many people can see the spiritual eye, with the spiritual eye, to see the real truth of God's Word. They're blinder than bats when it comes to truly understanding the depth of our Savior's teachings. They always want to blame somebody. Well, it was either the parents that sinned or him. That's like the good buddies of Job, 38 chapters of ratchet jaw. Job, you know darn well you've sinned or you wouldn't be in this condition. So now just level with us. What have you done? Well, Job hadn't done a thing. People just have to, we've got to blame somebody. You know, sometimes you could even blame yourself if you wanted to, you know, and you might, for ignorance, and probably you'd be getting a lot further along. So Jesus is saying neither one of them did. It would be like his teachings in Luke chapter 13, verse 4. When he said, hey, what do you think? Do you think those 18 that the Tower of Siloam fell on were sinners above other people? And then he lets them know it didn't have anything to do with it. If you're under a tower, I don't care if you're the best old boy in the neighborhood and that thing falls right on you, you're deader than a hammer. Okay? You're gone. You're out of here. Your sin doesn't have anything to do with it. It was an accident and you were in the wrong place at the right time. So things happen. That's what Christ is saying. Okay. But he said, this man, in this particular case, this man is blind for a reason. I'm going to use him as an illustration. And many might say, well, isn't that unfair to him? Do you know something? I don't have any trouble in my heart knowing, and as much as all of our souls come from God, that this trooper volunteered before he ever came here for that duty. Now, some of you may have, that may be a far stretch for you. If it is, don't worry about it. Put it on a shelf. Be fine with me. But I believe God is totally fair with everybody. God has an overall plan, and he's had it since the foundation of the world. He has people that work with him, and he has people that are just people. Hopefully they'll get it. They're all his children and he loves every one of them. Okay? But what he's saying is stuff happened. Sin didn't have anything to do with it. Verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. What is day? Well, it's light. While there's visibility. The night cometh. There's going to be darkness when no man can work. Why? Because what does it bring? Blindness. And when that night comes, it will be difficult to work. You know, when the more Satan is present in this world, the more difficult it will be to do God's work, especially when he stands as the spurious Messiah. 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In other words, the light sent me. Almighty, my Father sent me, and I am that light. That's what he's saying here. And so it is. He brings light. What is light? Understanding. Common sense. You know, anytime you try to make the simplicity in which Christ taught difficult, you're pedaling upstream with nowhere to go. God always utilized common sense. That's why he used so many terms, so many agricultural terms, so you old farm boys could understand exactly what he meant. You knew. Just like plowing, and if you ever look back, you know, you're not going to plow a straight line. Why? Because you guide that plow, okay, with your hands. How many of you, boy, it gets lower and lower. I have plowed with a turning plow, 12, 10, and an 8-incher. I even got down to a 6-incher with one horse. You just use one horse that way. You know, Pink Pine Gardens. I made a little pocket change in high school plowing gardens, okay? Me and the banker had a deal. I didn't loan nobody no money, and he didn't plow no gardens, okay? okay? So we got along good. But if you look back, it's like skiing. You know, there's a guide plate there, and it's like skiing. That thing's gone. I mean, it's going to take off. So keep your mind on what you're doing. Keep it on Christ's word. That's a simple teaching of pay attention. You know, concentrate. Think. God gave us gray matter, and we're supposed to use it. It keeps us out of all kinds of problems and troubles and so forth. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, he was what? He was the living water. And what was Adam made out of? Clay. Okay. I mean, nothing unusual about that. All right. Verse 7. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now listen to the interpretation. It helps you a bunch. Which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. He could see. Now, there is a great deal to this that you can just learn a valuable lesson from it. The pool of Siloam, it means sent. And you know, do you know what the word apostle means? A sent one. Okay. If God's going to use somebody, he'll send them. And he had a purpose in healing his blindness. He was a sent one. Now, also, the pool of Siloam laid right at a subterranean conduit that watered the old city in times gone by, and it was right basically adjoining the fountain of the Virgin through which Christ came. There's just so much there. This sent one, Christ touched him with the water of life, fountain from the fountain of life, and then told him to go wash. And what did the man do? I don't believe that stuff. You know what? Man, the man spit on the ground, and I mean, after all, he put that clay right above the old man, you know. That doubt's funny, you know, and people are funny. This man obeyed what Christ told him to do, and he got sight. He could see. There's always a reason. And you know, it's just like Christ will tell us, if you want somebody healed, anoint them with the oil of our people. Do you know something? You don't anoint them, and there's not going to be any healing. I'll just assure you, most likely, there won't be any healing. And then people will say, well, what does that oil have to do with it? Nothing. Oil, I mean, olive oil, which is the oil of our people, is really healthy, but and it has medicinal purposes. But it's obedience. It is the obedience to do it, to anoint somebody. Well, Christians, that's Old Testament. No, what, are you a Christian? Do you know what the word Christ means? It means the anointed one, the Messiah. And the etymology of his name even comes from rubbing his anointing with oil. So, you know, you got to get up to speed and kind of do it his way, in order that you can receive a healing, in order that you're obeying him, in order that you're doing what it is he wants. Verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, I mean, all his life, said, is not this he that sat and begged? I mean, we saw him there at the gate every day. And some said, this is he, and others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. In other words, you've got some people that won't believe it if they see it. You got it? I mean, that ain't him. That's probably his twin brother or somebody that looks like him. He couldn't be seeing. You know. Verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? Question. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He sent me, and wash. I went and washed, and I received my sight. I obeyed, and I see. I was healed. Now, this is why it's important that you follow his instructions, beloved. So many people will say, and I pity them. I really feel sorry for them. They'll come and say, God never blesses me. Little wimpy, poor me baby. If God never blesses me, well, you never do anything he asks you to. Why should he? Don't argue with him. Study his word, absorb it, and be blessed. Or, hey, go on with your happy life. You know, it's fine. 12. Then said they unto him, where is he? Where is the man that did this? He said, I know not. I don't know. 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Take him down here to the church and let's get to the bottom of this. Well, now, you want to learn a lesson from this too. What church are you going to find out what's really happening? Well, let's see if this one did. The Pharisees is a particular faith, okay? 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Uh-oh. Man, I mean, you've got some religious that this would just knock it clear out of the park, you know. Sin. He did it on the Sabbath. Okay. It doesn't matter that when our calendar was corrected to the Gregorian calendar, we threw 11 days down the drain. So what day is Saturday? Okay, you need to think a little every once in a while and so forth. Every day, Christ is our Sabbath. He is our rest. Christ did it. He's the one that blesses us. 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. He kept telling this over and over. Don't you reckon, you know, pretty soon you're going to say, you're getting tired of it. He said, I told you. It's that simple. He mixed clay, and he mixed it with the water. He put it on my eyes. I washed, and I see. Now, isn't that a complicated one, huh? They're having trouble with it, friends, much as people have trouble with the truth today. Verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? I mean, if he was a sinner, this couldn't happen, some said. And there was a division among them. I mean, some believed, some didn't. They thought, well, he can't be too bad if he did it. But, I mean, some people make a religion out of a day, a month, a holiday, when they have Christ. Why? Why do they do that? Why do they allow themselves to be cornered that way? Well, 17. You know, I'll back up just a minute. Do you know why they call Saturday Saturday? It's named like Monday is named after the moon. Guess what Sunday is named after? You're on Sunday today. Guess what it's named after? The sun, of course. But what is Saturday named after? Saturn. Whose planet is it? It's Satan's. And boy, can Satan use for some trickery around. I'm not knocking Sabbath keepers. It's fine with me. Okay? But Christ is my Sabbath. That's the Sabbath means what? Rest. You're not going to get any rest if you're not in Christ, period. Okay? I don't care what day it is. Verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. I mean, there wasn't any doubt in his mind that God had touched him, because he could see. You know, God sure gave us a... Don't ever forget to thank him that you see the beautiful colors, if you do. Or even if you're colorblind, that you can see people, that you have sight. It is awesome. It is wonderful. It is really something to be thankful for. And naturally, this lad was. Boy, he was seeing. And he said, I know he was a good man. I know he was a prophet. Verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. This could not happen. And received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And let's get some kinfolk in here. Let's check this out. 19, and they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" And you see, this says a lot more. They'd seen him down there begging at the gate. They knew he claimed to be blind. Now they're kind of accusing him of being a crook just a little bit. You got it? In other words, they're saying the reason he can see is he never was blind to start out, and he was kind of ripping us off. All right? Verse 20. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We know that. 21. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. We don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. He'll tell you. Well, he already had told him a dozen times. Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared. Got it? They feared the Jews. Now, this is Eudas. This is our brother Judah. But don't worry, there were some Kenites mixed in there a little bit too, all right? For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. You know what that means? Excommunicated. Best day in his life if they'll just throw him out. Okay. Then he can start living properly. And that shouldn't cause any fear to someone that was a seeker of truth, all right? 23. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. We wash our hands of it. 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. Now that's a mouthful, my friend, and repercussions would naturally come from that. You don't want to call the Son of God a sinner, or even come close to implying. He said, let's just give God the praise and write it off. Now, they've got to answer for something. You understand that, don't you? You see, there's one thing they can't do. They can't heal anybody. That church can't. That church can't make anybody see. It can't raise anybody from the dead. So he can't give this man credit, or he'll take away their little members. So they got to say, well, let's just praise God and write it off the books that way. 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Just that simple fact, you know. And to one that has sight, like I said, that beautiful gift of seeing, he wasn't going to question it. 26. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? This is to be the baker's dozen here, okay? You all know what that is. That's one extra donut, okay? 27. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore should ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Do you want to be his disciple too? Now this will light their wick, okay? This will really crank up their fodder. Okay, 28. Then they stormed him, called him vile, and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Verse 29. And we know that God spake unto Moses, and for this fellow we know not from whence he is. Now let me tell you something. How sharp are you? Can you call to mind, or can you ever remember reading the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy? What did Moses say in verse 18? He said, God is going to raise a prophet from the common people, meaning born of woman. And he's going to send him, and he's going to judge us rightly and so on and so forth, and do miracles, do wonderful things. So you see, Moses taught that Christ would come. That's the point I'm making, okay? So, though they claimed to be of Moses, they sure weren't very good students on what Moses did. I probably shouldn't do this. I do a lot of things I shouldn't do. I was sitting on a board of so-called learned men of the Word of God of various religions, okay? And a particular man, and I'm not going to mention any religions because it is against my policy, but one that is supposedly of the old school, the Old Testament, okay, was asked a question from Leviticus. And his statement was, "I haven't studied Leviticus since I got out of seminary. You'll have to get someone else to." And this college professor said, "Well, we'll ask Pastor Murray, what does Leviticus so-and-so say?" And I told him, you know, it's amazing. I mean, that probably won't mean a whole lot to you, but you either are or you're not, okay? You're either a student or you're not a student, period. And I'm not saying everybody should be able to call every scripture from the Word of God. But if you're in the business, do you know what I mean by being in? If you're a so-called teacher, you should know. Okay, you really should know. No man knows everything. I run across one that told me he did, but it didn't quite square plumb and level there, all right, on the thing. Anyway, Moses predicted Christ would come. And you can make a note. I mean, don't go there right now. Deuteronomy 18:18. That's easy to remember, isn't it? 18:18. And you'll see that Moses taught that Christ would come and he would be called a prophet, okay? Now, verse 30. The men answered and said unto them, "Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes." You can't tell. I don't care what Moses told you. You don't know where he is or what, but he gave me sight. I can see. 31. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." 32. "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" One of you got any record this happened before? Naturally, you know what their answer was? No, it hasn't happened. Maybe they could have said, "That's why we're suspicious of you." But he could see. Okay? It doesn't take too much to test whether a man can see or not. Okay? How many fingers am I holding up? All right? He might remember a little bit of a string to put you on, but pretty soon you got him. Okay? 33. "If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." Now that's just plain old common sense. This old boy is laying common sense on these church members, okay? 34. "They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins." Here, we're not as a scapegoat, all right? "And dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Do you know what this word means, cast out? They excommunicated him from the church. Boy, he should have been dancing and doing a jig in the street and saying, "Praise God, I'm free from a bunch of hypocrites." Okay? I can really go out now and witness the truth. You know, some people worry so much. They get, you know, brainwashed as children that if you really cross up, the church can throw you out and send you to hell. I got some bad news for them. According to my Bible, God is the judge. God is the judge. And anytime some church claims they can send somebody to hell, and I'm not knocking churches, I'm just saying if they make that claim, they're liars. Because God is judge, and there is no other. As a matter of fact, if a church judged someone to death, they are a bigger sinner than he is. Because the biggest sin there is to accuse someone falsely and judge them when it's God's place. You're trying to take God's place, and guess what? God doesn't like it. And he'll put you in your place quicker than you can say fried okra. Okay? 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, I'm sure he kind of felt for the old boy, you know, because he had used him as an illustration, and he got put through it pretty good, you have to admit. And he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" I mean, after I touched you with that living water and the clay from which you came. 36. And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Now, there's no sin in not knowing, but it is a sin to stay ignorant always. So this man is, he's not questioning the Lord. He's asking information. Explain it to me. He always will. The Lord will always, if you don't understand something, the next prayer out of your mouth, let it be, or in your mind, let it be for clarity. And God will give it to you, okay? He's really liberal with giving truth into the minds of people that seek it, that ask it. 37, and Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." You're there. This is it. 38, and he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Why shouldn't he? He had the wonderful gift of sight. He could see. And he knew, as we learned from his common sense approach prior, he would have to be a man of God to do something that good. Verse 39, and Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Now, underline the word that they, not. That's what that's really saying, is this is the purpose that I came into the world. So don't read over that and don't pass it off as light. This is what I came here to gain. Like I said, you'd have to go to the manuscripts to document that, but it's real easy. Get a greens and look. Okay, but that's what that particular word "that" means. H-I-N-A in the Greek language. You won't have any trouble spotting it. Hinna. "For that purpose came I into this world. For judgment I am come into this world, that," in order that, to make it possible, "they which see not," those that are blinder and a hammer to the truth, "might see," might hear the truth, might learn the truth, and their spiritual eyes be open, whereby they could see the overall plan of God, His healing, His love, His understanding, "and that they which see might be made blind." In other words, somebody that just sees with their eyes and can't accept the truth that he was Messiah, they're spiritually blinder than a hammer, okay? They're dead blind. And you know what? If you don't change it, it will end you up dead. That means no eternal life. That's what sight does, spiritual sight. Let's you see. Is it really, really complicated? Well, let me ask you a question. Christ chose, he said, "This boy came here blind so that I can use him as an illustration." Did he say great swelling words in convincing anyone? No. The boy used plain old common reasoning. "Hey, I couldn't see before he touched me. I couldn't see anything. I stood down here and begged all my life, and you know it. And he touched me with that blessed hand, and now I see." You see, there wasn't any great deep message in that. And can you believe the man? Well, you'd better, because God sent him for that purpose, as an illustration, as an instructor. God will use whomever he chooses to bring a point or a truth forward, in order that we can see the overall and more in-depth message of the tender care that He gives us. That's why, you know, I really, as oftentimes I do, I really thought about even bringing this message. I said, this is an oversimplification. Hannah, everybody knows what that means. But then in English, it's so easy to read over a word that has many more meanings. Because not every time that is used means henna. It is for this purpose that God does this. I think it's important that you know. It's real easy to check it out, okay? Verse 40, let's just complete the chapter we've come this far. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Well, now they could see. Verse 41, and Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. In other words, out of your own mouth. What is he doing there? He's nailing down that he's talking about spiritual sight. Okay. In-depth truth to see the common sense and the simplicity in which he teaches. Beware of that person that tries to complicate God's word and tries to make it say something that is beyond reason or that you cannot comprehend, because it is against Christ's way of teaching. He just doesn't do it that way. Okay, let's turn on to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Just going to do a couple of verses here. We're going to wind this down in order that, okay, because of this. This is the reason I do this, Christ would say. Pick it up in verse 20. You're all familiar with this, where Christ comes to this man. He says, son, your sins are forgiven, period. Just lays her out there. Verse 20 of chapter 5 of the great book of Luke. And when he saw their faith, he said unto the man, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now think about that. Who can forgive sin? Only our Father or the Son. 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemous? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Question. 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering, said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What do you got running through your minds there? 23. Whither is easier, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Which, I mean, this man is paralyzed, okay? And hypochondriac, is that a sickness that they imagine? Yeah, he wasn't a hypochondriac. I mean, he was paralyzed. 24. But that, now guess what that means in the Hebrew manuscripts? Henna. For this purpose, you may know, for the purpose that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins. This is why I'm doing this, is to prove it. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. You get up in there and pick up your bed. You know what a bed was back then? How many of you know what a pallet is? A few of you had to sleep on one, didn't you? Well, anyway, that's about what a bed was. It was what we would call a pallet. And he rolled her up, took her up, and walked. Paralyzed. It is for this reason, this is the object, that I say this, so that you know Messiah is here. Okay, basically that's what it was about. 25, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. They really hadn't. They hadn't seen anything strange. They observed the workings of Jesus Christ. for in order that people could know he was Messiah. In closing, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to pick it up with verse 17. This is a deep teaching in this chapter that some people are predestined. Some people were chosen from before. Some people have a destiny. Some are, quite frankly, as we started out, sent ones. In other words, God knows and loves you enough that he knows he can send you and you won't disappoint him. All right? You're not easily taken off course. Verse 17. 16 will start. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He is our Father. He created our souls. Whether you like it or not, he's the nearest relative you have. Okay? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Do you know what an heir is? That means you inherit what he's got. Do you know what he's got? Everything. That's something to be happy about, all right? And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that, there you go, underline it, in order that, because of this, we suffer with him, that, again, hina, we may be also glorified together. Boy, it is coming. You know, many people say, well, I didn't know we were supposed to suffer. I thought if you loved the Lord, you lived in a rose garden. Well, he set the example for us. Did they put him in a rose garden? Did they bring him chocolate milk every morning and whatever, you know, long-stemmed roses and just really take good care of him? I don't think so. They crucified him when he was trying to do what was right, as we have seen in today's lecture. He healed that man's eyes, gave him sight, the beautiful gift of sight. And what did they do? Called him a sinner. It doesn't matter what you do, the world is not going to understand when you serve God, and you're going to suffer for it a little bit, but rejoice in it, because the inheritance. Besides that, do you believe God takes care of his own? It doesn't matter. God takes care of his own. He brings them right on through it. Okay. He handles it. He delivers. He takes care of when you are observing and follow. How beautiful it is to be joint heirs. Do you know? Verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us and to us. You know, it's you can't even imagine. For the earnest expectation, do you know what this word earnest is in the Greek? It's a guarantee. I mean, the down payment has already been made. For the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's to say creation. Do you know why the creation waits for the manifestation or the completion of the sons of God? Look what the sons of God are doing to it. Creation. How many of you drove here in an automobile? Puff, 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 puff. Poison, poison, poison. Put out there my good old oak trees out there. I have to go nurse them. I am an environmentalist as a lover of nature, but I like to ride too. But we puff out poison and a bunch of other stuff, and nature itself saying, I'll be glad when he gets them out of these flesh bodies. Because in these flesh bodies, they trash everything. You know, that's what nature speaks. And you know what? Look at it and think about it. How many of you drive down the highway every once in a while and you see the beauty along the sides of the road, you know? People being real careful, never, never tossing an empty bottle out. It's littered. Messy. Naturally, nature looks forward to when people turn back to spiritual bodies and are not so filthy, okay? I want to skip all the way down to verse 26. This is written to sent ones, okay? Do you know why I can say that? Because of the word saint. It was written to the saints, which means those that follow, set aside ones that God chose and set aside. He says in 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And you don't. You don't know exactly what you should pray for to be just, I mean, to be right on Johnny on the spot where God wants you. So you better leave it up to Him, is what he's saying here. But the Spirit maketh intercession. You understand? The very Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I mean, He's not going to tell us. Have you ever been moved from one place to another and you say, well, I wonder why that came to be? Well, God's in charge, okay? God's in charge. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to whose will? Your will? Well, I want to truck off down here to Georgia today. You know, that's my will. Well, God may have something else in mind. And I'm not picking on my Georgia friends. I just like Georgia. That's all that comes to mind. Anyway, God's in charge, okay? If you're one of His elect, He'll let you know. Now, that doesn't mean you're supposed to sit around and do nothing either, all right? Don't worry. If you're doing something wrong, He'll let you know. All right? Quick, all right? Pretty quick. When it just falls flat on its face, say, Lord, I understand. Okay? 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Your purpose? No. His purpose. Do you know, I'm going to tell you something. The secret to having prayers answered is entailed in that verse. Did you know that? A lot of people wonder why their prayers aren't answered. You can find your reason right there. According to God's will, not ours. Okay. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate. Do you know what predestinate means? That means your life is predestined. You knew you had a purpose. Some of you have known since you were a child there was a lot more to God's word than you've been taught. To be conformed to the image of His Son. That's to mean a servant like Him, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In order that you could see the truth, in order that you could hear the voice of Christ, in order that you could understand why He did things. That's why He brought forth Henoch, which is to say, in order that. And that's why I titled this that. I hope you enjoyed it. Father's Word and the reasons Christ, always find and understand the reason Christ does something. That's where the lesson for you is at. That's where it's entailed. It's why He did it, for what purpose. And it's usually always for the children. It's always for you, the children of God. Don't forget it. Again, some people have known since they were a child there was a lot more to His Word, what He would have you do, a sent one. Think about it. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Thank You, Father, for giving us the platform that we have that goes around the world at this time. Thank You for it. In advance, we say, Amen, Amen, Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
I was just watching Genesis, and you made the reference that Satan and Lucifer are one and the same. I thought they were two separate beings. Would you clarify? Hun, Lucifer, Satan, dragon, devil, he goes by many names to deceive people. I want you to make a note, two different places in the great book of Revelation. I want you to make a note of Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 6 and 7, and see how many names are his. Lucifer is a little different. You won't find it written there, but Lucifer means bright star, morning star. What was Christ? He's the morning star. Satan copies and steals everything. He wants to be called the morning star. But you will see all of his names. Also make a note of Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 2, and get his names again. He's called that, all of those names. And if you have a companion Bible, on about 12 or 13 names that he utilized, son of perdition, on and on it goes, are listed, I believe, if my memory doesn't fail me, in chapter 8, somewhere in there. Randall from Illinois, where in the Bible does it talk about capital punishment? Kind of a lot of places. New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. The word kill is phronos in the Greek. From phronos, it means a criminal homicide. They were supposed to die, according to Christ. It's spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and in Numbers chapter 35. God said if somebody lies in wait and premeditates, you're to let the kinsman redeemer kill him and send him up to me. You always have to go by government law in this modern generation. Wilma from Nevada, where does it say the 7 years will be shortened to 5 months? The shortening first is mentioned in Mark chapter 13, where God says, for the elect's sake, I shortened the time of the Antichrist being here, or no flesh would be saved. I mean, that's how convincing he is. And then in Revelation chapter 5, he tells us, Revelation chapter 9, he tells us that it is, the time is shortened to a 5 month period. Mona from South Dakota, is there a difference between tithes, offerings, and donations? Tithe is a word that means a tenth, and you pay that or a part to a place where you're taught. Okay. Well, why would you do that? Well, you need the teaching to continue if you're being taught there. And an offering is if there's somebody hungry, then that's a love offering. If you buy them a hamburger or a lettuce salad, whatever, you know, if they're vegetarian or whatever. Patty from California. Where in the Bible does it say that we are not to fly as in the rapture? It says that in Ezekiel chapter 13. And those names of Satan you'll find in Daniel chapter 7 instead of 8, okay? Brooke from North Carolina, I am 10 years old. I have 5 pets and I love them very much. We enjoy you every day, and my question is, when God comes down, will all the animals turn into spirits just like us? Well, yes, I think we can document that. Brooke, and I'm glad you love your animals. I love animals, and you know something? Our Father loves his animals. That's why he created them. Now, Isaiah chapter 11, you find out that even the wild animals can live with a lamb, lie right down with them. Why? Because they're in spiritual bodies. There are no more carnivores. The ox will eat, no. What is it? Will eat hay just like the, yeah. The bear will eat hay like the lion will eat hay instead of the little lamb, in other words, okay? They're not carnivores, okay? Your mother can pick up on that and explain it better for you, perhaps, in Isaiah chapter 11. Okay, we got Cecil from Florida. The scripture is, my study group is having trouble. Is that what you're saying here? Anyway, the scripture is Psalms 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. It means they go astray from the womb of Israel. Okay, you got it? Not from an individual, but they go astray from Israel. That is to say, the family, okay? And they get tangled up in bad stuff. Donna from North Carolina, me and my husband were wondering if you had land to rent out and say someone who rented it did not have eyes to see and worship the Antichrist as Christ, would taking rent money from them during Antichrist's reign be okay? Of course it is. You want to remember, the only thing is we cannot do, that is, we can't worship the Antichrist. And God expects us to use a little bit of ingenuity. And if you rent somebody that loves the Antichrist and they're on his payroll, and there'll be plenty there, it's fine to take that money to survive yourself, because you're not worshiping anybody, okay? At the same time, that's why it's nice to have a silver dime, because that's precious metal. And everybody likes precious metal. I don't care what form of money we're using. It could even get you a loaf of bread at a real critical time, okay? Okay, I know you said we had to worship the Antichrist to get the new money. Well, you would if you were to join his little plan. Presley from Pennsylvania, was only the black race created on the sixth day? No, all that, we got them all, okay? Oriental, black, everybody. All the races were created on the sixth day. God doesn't play favorites. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love y'all a lot because you enjoy studying our Father's Word in completeness, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But you know what it does? It really makes your Father's day when you do. It just really pleases him. And when you make his day, hey, he's going to make yours, all right? We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, blessing God, he will always, I do mean always, bless you. Most important, you stay in his word. You set a little time each day aside. Stay in his word every day in it, even with trouble. It's a good day. You know why? Jesus is the living word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary.